The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 19th day of October 2021. Are you ready? Oh, my gosh. Now, at 9:05 today, we're going to welcome Gordon Chang, one of the great experts on China, because we have this wonderful Jen Psaki comment that as China becomes a little more adventurous on the interface between nukes and space, that she said we welcome the vigorous competition. We welcome the competition. Really? Did Reagan ever say that about the Soviet Union? We welcome the competition. Reagan's policy on the Cold War was very, very simple. It was four words. We win, you lose. That is the way to go on such skirmishes. Gordon is coming to town on Friday for an IPI event. You'll learn about that at IPI.org. Anyway, Gordon Chang on Chinese matters at 9:05. Between now and then, or even after that with whatever is left in the 9 o'clock hour, get a look. Say again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Very cool. Thank you. A brand new guest arrival. At 8:35, we are going to welcome a gentleman running for the Carroll ISD board. That's the South Lake School Board, the much talked about South Lake School Board. And it's talked about a little more. Anyway, gentleman's name is Andrew Yeager. And everybody's on me about him. It's like, oh, this guy's got to win because we got to make sure that the South Lake School Board doesn't, you know, come off its hinges. They've made great progress of late. The South Lake School Board has been heroic in its refusal to board the critical race theory train, in its fighting back against extremism. And for that, they have been condemned and vilified. There is an entire NBC News podcast devoted to the condemnation of Southlake and damnable lies about this wonderful community. So Andrew Yeager joins us 8:35. I will tell you that one of the first things I may do so that you can have this in your head is play some of the coverage of last night's school board meeting. Because when you are Southlake and when there is, and I don't even refer to this as conservative, it is historically accurate. When there are people who are seeking to weaponize our history, when there are people who are seeking to pervert the American story for callow political gains, it needs to be resisted. And the lies are thick and fast. Oh, they don't want people to teach about slavery in Southlake. They don't want the truth told about racism in America. Well, what is the truth about racism in America? Ask 10 people, get 10 different answers. I'll give you mine. Does racism still exist? Of course it does. Is it as much as today's race-baiting activists want you to believe? No, because that is pure politics. It's not even about race. It's about politics smearing America as a racist hellhole in 2021 so that they can step forward and say that only we in the Democrat Party can fix it. And this is fraud. It's historical and academic fraud. So when you're fighting back against that, there's going to be a target on your back at all times, every day. And it means that the usual conservative credo, which I tell you all the time, that you have zero room for error. You have to play mistake-free ball. Never hand your opponents something to bash your brains in with. So a few days ago, an administrator, an executive director for curriculum and instruction, a woman named Gina Petty, whom I do not know, but who I give benefit of the doubt as being a decent person, stuck her foot in it in epic fashion. and you have this surreptitiously recorded audio where she describes, where she's talking about the House bill that requires certain balance in instruction. And by the way, balance is good. Yeah. Picked a bad example. So, she said, if you have this, some book about the Holocaust, you have to have a some kind of corresponding balancing view. And teachers in the room said, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? What exactly is the, what's the opposing view on the Holocaust? So, one of two things is true. One is that Ms. Petty is a raving anti-Semite, or that she really screwed up and gave the worst possible example of a situation where a corresponding balancing text is called for. Erin Jones at Channel 11 was at the meeting last night. I'll probably play her thing first. And there's a Jewish mom who said, when I first heard this, I was pretty mortified. But in looking at it, I think I'm going to give this lady some benefit of the doubt. Good for her. Others not willing to do that, but you have to understand that everybody's got the long knives out for Southlake. Everybody's got the long knives out for the Carroll ISD, as it's called. Everybody wonders, why isn't it just called the Southlake Independent School District? Well, because parts of it are in Grapevine. The Carroll ISD is named after B.E. Carroll, who was long time ago the Tarrant County Superintendent of Education. So, hence the name. It's named after a person rather than geography. So there we are. And I haven't even gotten to our buddy Dennis Prager, who has COVID and says, I tried to get it. I'm hugging people. I'm shaking hands. I wanted to get it because I want that natural immunity. Okay. So what are we to do with that? I may sit tight on that one because that's who Uncle Mike was talking about yesterday, because a little bird told him before he told me. You remember the portion of yesterday's Mike segment where he said, oh, man, you know, as COVID spreads and you hear about everybody getting it and somebody else getting it and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. So there's I think he said, like, there's somebody in our world. I'm sitting there thinking, well, who are you talking about? Well, our buddy Dennis Prager has COVID, proudly unvaccinated. And proudly scarfing up, you know, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and monoclonal antibodies now, and he feels good. Did the show yesterday, so first and foremost, I want him to cruise through this and be all better, et cetera, et cetera. But what exactly are the lessons of that? And then when you get to COVID, or when you get to vaccine mandates, there are two people who have quit their jobs. Rather than wait and be fired, there's a vaccine mandate at ESPN. So one of their baseball and football reporters, Allison Williams, said, I don't want the vaccine. ESPN said, you got to get it. So she quit. Okay. But then the one that made a lot of eyebrows go up. How about a big-time football coach? Of course, big-time is a relative term. It's, you know, it's not some little piddly-squat college. Washington State University football coach Nick Rolovich has resigned because Washington State is a state university, and in Washington State, they have a state employee's vaccination mandate. The head coach at Washington State is a state employee. So let's go through this. Does the state have a right to have a vaccine mandate for its employees? Yes, they do. Does anybody who can't handle that have the right to hit the door? Yes, they do. Liberty busting out all over. Nick Rolovich says, gotta go. Now, and of course, there are two ways to react. There are multiple ways to react on that. As you listen to this right now, I know there's some of you going, yeah, Nick, you're a hero, buddy. Yeah, don't tread on me. Yeah. And there are others of you who are going, what are you, stupid? What? Just get the stupid shot and coach your team. And in the middle of those, you know, views, there are those who are just steeped in this compelling and worrisome time where they might say, you know, I don't know what this coach's reasons are for not wanting it, but there, and we can say that he's a big old dummy or that he's totally well-founded in his desire not to have it. Ms. Williams over at ESPN, she said she didn't want it because she's scared for a baby she might have. There's zero evidence that this is harmful to pregnant people. But again, I'm can't be a researcher for the world. Everybody gets their own reasons. And if I think some of them are loopy, well, guess what? That ain't none of my business, is it? So what Allison Williams does at ESPN, what Nick Rolovich does at Washington State, that is indeed their business. They're stepping into the strike zone and taking one for the team, or however you want to view it. Well, I tell you what, however you view anything, Lord guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. And Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of our COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we fight for the unborn, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, let's take our first break, come back, and we're going to go a deep dive into Southlake. They had a meeting last night, and so just the worst timing possible, a school district that is heroically, courageously, in a praiseworthy fashion, fighting back against race-baiting extremism. Well, we have one administrator caught in the worst moment of bad phraseology that you could find, and that ain't helpful. But what ought to happen to her? And there are people looking for her head on a platter, and some are not. And so I'll tell you, we'll go through all of that. And at 8:35, with a Carroll ISD election coming on the near horizon, candidate Andrew Yeager will join us. We'll get his thought about what's going on there in the school district that he seeks to be on the board to represent. 7:19, happy Tuesday. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. So as you know, I'm a big Doobie Brothers fan, and I draw the line in the sand between the Tom Johnston, China Grove, listen to the music, Doobie Brothers, and the Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers. But you know, there's a guy who's been there throughout.
I'm much obliged indeed.
This guy, Patrick Simmons.
You sure have saved this man's soul.
Lead vocal on Blackwater, the big hit you'll find him on. But Pat Simmons is 73 today. South City Midnight Lady is on The Captain and Me, one of the great Doobie Brothers albums.
But the smile that I said
Already. There's a great novelty record from the 60s, the performer of whom has a birthday. I'll be handing that to Mike in our segment here in just a little bit. All right, let me hand this to you. If you're in full context, and again, I feel for Gina Petty. They're calling for her head on a platter. It was a big foot and mouth moment of, if you're going to pick anything in history that you need to balance out, let's stipulate things in history need to have a balanced view, an objective view, right? Don't hammer, you know, one side too hard about anything. Well, there are some things where there really is not that much of an opposing view. The Holocaust would be top of that list. So here's Ms. Petty in the surreptitiously recorded audio that's been making the rounds. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Well, I may have to. Well, let's see. It is within.
We are in here, we go. The middle of a political mess.
There we go.
And you are in the middle of a political mess.
She's talking to a group of gathered teachers.
And so we just have to do the best that we can. And so we're going to go and you're going to do what you do best, and that's to teach kids.
So far, so good, right?
We're all just really terrified.
A teacher says, I think we're all just really terrified, as if teachers need to be terrified of this House bill that says, hey, teach things in a balanced fashion. Is it an intellectual responsibility? Is it a little bit of a chore they're going to have to go through to make sure that there's balance? Maybe something they've never been asked to do before. Well, guess what? You're being asked now.
are terrified, and I wish I could take that away. I do. I can't. I can't do that. You are professionals. We hired you as professionals. We trust you with our children. So if you think the book is okay, then let's go with it. And whatever happens, we will fight it together. We will.
Now that sounds like Ms. Petty, who again is the administrator, executive director for curriculum and instruction. Like some empathizing with teachers who are saying, you know, what do we do? How do we know what we're doing is right? And she's essentially saying, listen, if you in your gut, you think there's a book that you think is all right, then go with it. Which, by the way, is what I would do to unless there's evidence that some teacher is involved in some type of race baiting activism.
Districts that are in the exact same spot we're in, and no one knows how to navigate these waters. I mean, no one.
So here we go. Some teachers said they still didn't understand the new book guidelines, so here comes the example.
As you go through, just try to remember the concepts of 3979 and make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, if you have one that has opposing...
If you have a book on the Holocaust, make sure you have something that has an opposing, has other perspectives. And there's a teacher going, what?
The Holocaust?
What? Believe me, that's come up.
So Number the Stars.
A teacher is mentioning Number the Stars, a book by Lois Lowry, a historical novel that tells the story of the Holocaust from the perspective of victims. And Gina says, no. So it was just an unholy mess. And again, I'm going to give Ms. Petty benefit of the doubt here, and because a lot of people ain't doing that, because this is a wonderful opportunity to bash Southlake. Because again, Southlake's sin is that they are daring to fight back against race baiting extremism. Aaron Jones was at the Southlake School Board meeting last night.
Brooke, it did. And after about an hour behind closed doors, the school board came out and decided not to take any action against that administrator. It was definitely a packed house here tonight, parents spilling into the hallway. We heard from some who supported that administrator, but others said there's no excuse for what she said.
I'm Jewish. My children are Jewish. So my instant reaction was to be upset.
But after further review, Kara Serber, a mom of two students, says she'll give the benefit of the doubt to the district administrator, who was recently recorded saying this.
As you go through, just try to remember the concepts of 3979 and make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, that you have one that has opposing...
House Bill 3979, which she references, is a newly passed state law limiting how race-related issues are discussed in schools.
I think that she is the mouthpiece for the administration right now, and that she was caught off guard and it wasn't fair to her.
So I just cannot thank Ms. Serber enough. It'd be the easiest thing in the world for her, especially in her Jewishness, to immediately take offense and say, well, clearly this is raging anti-Semitism, rather than saying, okay, wait a minute, can we see if that actually is a charge that sticks? Other folks, not waiting so much.
At Monday's school board meeting, not everyone agreed.
I hope that you will consider not just a reprimand, but firing that administrator who spoke like that, because she does know better.
There are no... two sides to genocide.
Gentleman is right about that, of course. I emailed the lady and said, listen, if you want an empathetic ear, but a curious one, ask what the heck were you thinking about, but to give you benefit of the doubt. But she ain't talking, and I probably understand that they're probably lawyered up to the hilt.
While we cannot rewind these past couple of weeks.
This is Michelle Moore, school board president.
We can provide some clarity.
School board president Michelle Moore says there's been a lot of confusion about the law, and everyone must work together to move the district forward. Superintendent Lane Ledbetter has issued an apology, saying the district recognizes that there are not two sides of the Holocaust. Moore also addressing reports that the board recently voted to reprimand a teacher for having the bestseller, How to Be an Anti-Racist, in her class.
As well she should. Listen, anything you want to read on your own time is fine, but How to Be Anti-Racist is this radical screed by this Ibram X. Kendi, high priest of the Church of Anti-Racism. Now, please, you've got to understand the language on this, kids. You've got to understand it. anti-racism. How could that be bad? Everyone is against racism. Anti-racism is a specific doctrine that says in order to oppose racism, you have to find it everywhere and you have to see everything through the poisonous lens of racial grievance. That How to Be an Anti-Racist book by Ibram X. Kendi has no place in a school curriculum. Unless, I'm going to put an asterisk by this because you know how I think about things. If there is a class that is mature enough, intellectually adept enough to say, let's look at a bunch of divergent views, and that's one of them, okay. But for that as a guiding way for kids to think and feel about each other is exactly what we talk about in terms of critical race theory, teaching kids to hate each other and to hate the country. All right, 7:32, let's get into the news, come back out. I got a bunch of things to offer Mike Gallagher. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin.
And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way.
So I wonder.
And it was signed by the Secretary Harper Valley PTA.
It's a big player in 8-year-old Mike Gallagher's radio listening.
Jeannie C. Riley.
Jeannie C. Riley, who is 76 years old today.
Wow.
And it's like this and, you know, Vicki Lawrence, Night the Lights went out in Georgia, Bobby Gentry, Ode to Billy Joe. These 300-page novels.
Exactly. Why did Billy Joe McAllister jump off the Tallahassee Bridge?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
There was a movie about it, remember? Oh, they did like a TV movie.
Well, and Harper Valley PTA, 10 years later, was a movie and then a TV show featuring, you know who, as Mrs. Johnson? The great Barbara Eden.
Oh, that's right.
Of Jeannie fame, who's still alive and looking great. She's like 90. I mean, it's crazy.
I used to have the hots for Jeannie.
Oh, dude, I dream of this. This was an era.
I dreamed of Jeannie.
I'm a little, I'll bet you did. And I'm about 3 years ahead of you. So between I Dream of Jeannie and I got to tell you, can we even have this conversation? Elizabeth Montgomery in Bewitched. Man, she drove my adolescent pants crazy. All these shows that were just being thrown at these pubescent boys, I think it was designed to make us insane, and it had the desired effect. So, anyway, there's that. So, where you want to start there, man? Where you want to go?
Let's start with good versus evil. I listened to Dennis yesterday. Dennis Prager announced on air that he has COVID, and he is quarantined in his home. And the internet, of course, went nuts. Mm-hmm. All over social media, Daily Mail, everybody. You know, they were having a field day with it because he is not on board with the vaccine, mm-hmm. and so as a result, he was mocked. He was derided. I mean, the whole theme was, "We hope he dies." Ha ha! This is, and you know, it's one thing to say. Yeah, it's pretty evil to see all the terrible comments. He said something on air yesterday during his return broadcast that got me thinking about good versus evil. Mm-hmm. He got the monoclonal antibodies. I talked to his wife actually yesterday, Sue, and both of them say that really made a difference. They got that, as many people have all over the world. Mm-hmm. The Regeneron or the monoclonal antibodies seem to be enormously effective when at the onset of COVID. Mm-hmm. The efforts that Biden has made to restrict places like Florida from getting the monoclonal antibodies is amazing. The rationing of the treatment is you really got to think about this, because the Biden administration announced it's restricting the distribution of monoclonal antibody treatments. And as analysts have kind of dived into it, states like red states are the ones that are getting the short end of the stick.
Why do you think?
Now think about this. Mm-hmm. Let me just go with this for a minute. Dennis says Joe Biden is the most evil president this country has ever seen. And, you know, Dennis chooses his words very carefully. He's a friend. I've spent a lot of time with Dennis, one of my favorite people. If it's true that this administration is purposefully restricting monoclonal antibodies because they don't want the recovery of people like Dennis to recover, people who are embracing and
there are people rolling the dice saying, I don't want the vaccine, but I'm gonna go ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies if I get it. And
Which is Dennis
and a ton of other people. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So what's the politics behind rationing mm-hmm. a treatment mm-hmm. for COVID? Mm-hmm. If it's true, Dennis is right. Yeah. If that's true, how could you dispute how evil that would be? What in the heck does the Biden administration care if Dennis Prager gets monoclonal antibody treatment? Why does anybody on the left care if you or I get Regeneron or we take ivermectin? Why do they care what we put in our body? There is a type of evil to this. We're not telling them what they must or must not put in their body, Mark.
Nope.
You know, it's so one-sided, it's so lopsided. In that same vein, talking about how one-sided this is, Stacey Abrams is on the campaign trail for Terry McAuliffe. She's saying she was a victim of election fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she must not have gotten the memo. I didn't think you were allowed to do that.
That's right.
She's on the campaign trail saying just because you win doesn't mean you won.
For those that don't know, she ran for governor of Georgia and she lost.
And she claims she really won, but election fraud and disenfranchisement prevented her from winning. She's still going around saying she won to this day. Now, wait a minute. If you or I question the outcome of the election, they might take us off the air. They want to shut us down if we you want to talk about election integrity? Oh, that's misinformation.
You'll be flagged for election misinformation. And by the way, if Stacey Abrams wants to make that complaint and invite scrutiny to that election, I welcome it, just like
I
welcomed
for it.
Absolutely. As it turns out, no evidence that she won. But hey, you have the right to ask whatever questions you like.
But that's not the way they roll. One more thing about the way they roll. Here's how they roll. Lori Lightfoot, did you see the selfie of her at the WNBA game?
I did not.
Surrounded by people. There are mask mandates, Mark, in all these blue cities.
Mm-hmm.
I come from one. New York City, you don't go inside without it. You got to still have a mask on indoors. And some places aren't real picky about enforcing it, but most are. All right, so let's just stipulate. If you're in Chicago, you go indoors, you got to wear a mask. If you're in Washington, D.C., you go inside, you got to wear a mask. That's their rule, not for the Democrats who imposed that rule. There's Lori Lightfoot posing with a big grin in the middle of a crowd of people at a WNBA basketball
game. The Chicago Sky just won the WNBA championship.
There she is posing. It's a selfie. Mm-hmm. She posted it on her own account, maskless, grinning ear to ear, surrounded by people with masks. There's Joe and Jill Biden walking through a fancy DC restaurant.
Also violating DC's mask mandate.
Mm-hmm. Mark, surrounded by men in Secret Service agents with masks on.
Yes.
Now, if you're the president of the United States and you're going to walk through a restaurant, you think maybe you know that they're going to take... Now, of course, judging by him yesterday, he doesn't know what universe he's in.
This poor guy.
But nonetheless, you got to believe he knows he's going to get photographed. Lori Lightfoot knows. She's posting the picture. She's bragging. They're laughing
at us,
Mark.
We're being taunted.
They're taunting us. Mm-hmm. They're just trolling us. There's no mask mandate that they think applies to them. They want to do whatever. They know that a mask isn't necessarily going to prevent COVID. They know that that monoclonal antibodies can work. They know that there's studies that say ivermectin is effective. They don't care. This is a religion. It's one-sided. It's lopsided. It's their way or the highway, and it's shameful. And, Mark, yeah, I dare say it's evil. We are witnessing this evil, corrupt, corrosive battle for this country's soul. We are in the middle of it, my friend.
And I apply that same test to who would miseducate our kids? Who would intentionally pervert our kids' education for cheap, tawdry political gain, making them hate the country and hate each other? This whole CRT thing and race baiting in our education system. The barring of parents from having input at school boards and the desire for this to just live in the domain of teachers' unions and educrats. That's not just a policy difference. That really is a goal that is good versus a goal that's not good. So I don't know. Can I throw something out of left field a little bit?
To that point, before you do that, Thomas Jefferson, the statue of Thomas Jefferson, New York City Hall.
Yes.
City Hall, City Council, removed.
But wait a minute, Mike, that's not possible because all these activists said, listen, we're just going after like hardcore Confederate generals. We're never coming after the founding fathers. They said this, Mike. They said, we're not coming after the founding fathers. So how can this be true?
I mean, honest to goodness, you're going to have to take down the Jefferson Memorial. You're going to have to take down the Washington Monument. Yep. Well, George Washington was a slaveholder.
That's right.
I mean, these people are insane. Do they care that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence? He was the author of the Declaration of Independence, and they're removing his statue because he must be offensive to people. So the founding fathers were they all slaveholders? I just want to know: do they all own slaves?
Well, no, but a whole lot of them did because a whole lot of them were from Virginia.
George, I mean, look at the founding fathers. Yep. Look at. I mean, I guess Alexander Hamilton, the vaunted star of the Broadway hit, but incidentally, Thomas Jefferson plays a big role in that show. You better cancel that musical. How are you going to have that musical on stage 8 shows a week in New York City, making millions of dollars for the producers and the cast?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You can't feature. You better purge Thomas Jefferson from that production. And incidentally, you saw Hamilton. You can't remove him from that show.
Of course not.
There won't be a show left. It'll be 5 minutes of them up there on stage rapping. All right, go ahead.
Your best non slave holding founding father would be John Adams up in Massachusetts.
Then they can replace Hamilton the musical with Adams the musical.
He will be the one. Okay, one of my fondest memories of our entire interaction, you, me, Food for the Poor, Guatemala. Did we have an incredible time doing the Lord's work and just feeding people and all that? Just fantastic.
You bet.
Not long after that, I did Haiti, and listen, Guatemala, Haiti, Guatemala, various other places. Chances are you and or I might have been on that same big old fun bus loaded with food for the poor people rolling through the lunar landscape of Haiti at some point, as I did in February of 2018. We have 16 Americans, one Canadian, who have been taken hostage, $1 million in ransom apiece. And I don't want to—I'm not prone to the overly dramatic saying, oh, that could have been us. Mike, it could have been us. And here's what I mean. I mean, it wasn't going to be because our company is so careful. Food for the Poor is so incredibly careful. In fact, we were slated to go back to Haiti like 2 years ago. And they said, things are a little unsettled. We're not going to do it. They always err on the side of caution. But do you know what the visual cue is right now in Haiti for a busload of people, for a vehicle that's just ripe for abduction? A big busload of white people, because they figure those are American or Canadian missionaries, and they're going to pay top dollar to get their people back. There's an 8-month-old, a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old among these hostages held by a Haitian gang. I pray for these folks. If people think it's going to work out well, but it might take weeks of negotiation. They are in touch. What in the world? You know you can't pay the ransom, right? There's no way we can do that. But as soon as I say it, I don't know it. Exactly right.
Because to the United States, $17 million isn't even the paperclip fund.
We pay the ransom tomorrow. We get these 17 good people back. Their lives are saved. And the next day, 5 more busloads of people are abducted. And we made that happen by paying that ransom. We made it clear to these gangs and these hostage takers that we will pay. That's why you can't do it.
I know, but it's the old, you don't negotiate with terrorists.
I know.
If it's your daughter,
exactly,
you're praying that we pay the money.
Of course.
Remember the families of hostages that we've seen with the Islamic extremists,
and
families have tried to get the ransom money to them because they wanted their loved one back.
Right. They said, we understand the government's not going to do it. Let me do it. Let me privately go
and
get the $5 million.
And then their loved ones suffers a terrible death. By the way, always a benefit of the MyPillow text line. We get comments in real time. A sharp-eared listener, our most famous non-slaving founding father was Thomas Paine. He started the first anti-slavery society in America. in 1775.
The famous pamphleteer, Common Sense by Thomas Paine, getting the whole ball
rolling.
There you go. All right, man. Get the ball rolling.
Alexander Hamilton.
I was in the room where it happened. You liked it. I talked you into it. I did.
And now I got to get ready to dive into the Billy Bob Thornton series this weekend.
Dude,
I'm ready. I can't wait.
Season 4 of Goliath. Now, have you watched any of it?
Goliath.
Any of it at all?
Oh, yeah. No, I told you. I told you that last night. Right. I love Goliath.
Well, then you got to plug back in.
I haven't seen season 4 yet. Yeah, yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton is an American treasure. He just did.
And they dropped the first episode of what has become my guilty pleasure. It's back, Succession, with Brian Cox.
I've got to get into that as well. This is a media mogul family, right?
It's patterned very, very loosely, wink, wink, on the Murdoch
family.
Okay, cool.
I'm in.
And it's so cool. They own cable news. They own a news. Oh, it's
good
stuff. A lot of.
Very, very
good.
Like
it looks like a dysfunctional family. It could be called the Gallagher. All right. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Mike is there for you. Ready to roll at 10 o'clock right here on 660 AM. Little Wynton Marsalis on the trumpet to take us out of the 7 o'clock hour. All right, so, the Southlake, the Carroll ISD turmoil. The Washington State football coach resigns rather than get the vaccine. The Haitian gangs that have abducted 16 Americans and a Canadian, do you pay the ransom or not? And in Austin, the special session has ended. A lot of good things happened. Some did not. So we'll take a look at all these things as we work our way through the 8 o'clock hour. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Wynton Marsalis, little stardust to take us out. It is a wonderful Tuesday morning, and we are glad you're here. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.